And we're going to turn in our Bibles to James chapter 4. And the passage that we come to today is from verse 11 to the end of the chapter. Up on the screen is the heading, the theme for our, as we've traced our way through James, the journey home. Because James, as he began his letter, addressed the letter in chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. James is writing to people, not people who are close to him, who would be in front of him necessarily every week, but he's writing to people who are scattered, far from home. And this letter is written to people who believe passionately in God, or confess they do, and yet their heart is somewhere else. Their heart is back home, Jerusalem for them. And so they're torn. And this letter is to these people to say to them, even though you're not where you'd like to be, you can live for God right where you are. And you can make your faith real. And so there is a journey home, not to Jerusalem for them, but a journey home to God. And that is true for us also. We are on our journey. And truly, we're on our journey home. And so we read from James chapter 4, verse 11. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Now today, as we reflect on this passage, I've headed it, A Life of Integrity. What is integrity? Integrity here is about holding together faith and actions. Holding together faith, what I claim to believe. I say I'm a Christian, I say I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, I follow him. Holding together my faith, what I believe, and my actions, what I actually do, so that somebody should be able to look or listen to what I say I believe and already know what I'm going to do in a general sense. Or alternatively, if I'm living with integrity, somebody should be able to look at what I do and know what I believe in a general sense. That's what integrity is. It's about holding things together. Things that should sit together, sitting together and doing it well. And that, of course, is a challenge in every part of our lives. To seek to live a life of integrity. And that's a lifetime's struggle. To hold together the values we say we believe in and the way we actually live. Now, this thing about integrity, it's what James has spoken about before in James chapter 2, verse 18, just across the page. He says, I will show you my faith by what I do. And you'll know in chapter 2, there is this discussion, this debate going on. Somebody saying, I've got faith. I've got actions. You know, can you have faith without actions? And James says, well, this is what integrity is. I'll show you my faith by what I do. You can look at what I do and you know what I believe because I live by integrity. The things, they hold together. Or in James chapter 3, who is wise and understanding among you, let him show it by his good life. Don't boast about how wise you are. Don't boast about how understanding or gifted or skilled you are or whatever it is. Let them show it by his good life. So the heading for today, a life of integrity. That is, it seems to be, in fact, running through this letter, there seems to be coming up again and again this challenge from James, wherever you are, whoever you are, however far from home you feel, as you make your journey truly home to God, live a life of integrity where your faith, what you say you believe, and your actions match up. They equal one another. But clearly, as we read this letter, that is not happening all the time. At the very end of the passage that we read, we have this in verse 16. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. So James seems to be saying, you know, my appeal to you is live a life of integrity. Bring your faith and your actions together. But you don't do that. All you do is boast and brag. And this boasting we've covered before, this boasting is the attempt to set oneself above somebody else, or it is the desire to set oneself above somebody else. That's what this boasting is. And we had it in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 14, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it. That same, setting myself above others. I am better than you. And most often, probably we see that when somebody is resentful or jealous. And they say, I'm better than him. It should be me. You know that? Maybe it's just me, I don't know. But that's what we have. So James says, you don't live lives of integrity. All you do is boast and brag. And it just doesn't add up. And then, of course, James finishes this section with this. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do, sins. And so, in a way, I suppose I'm starting at the end of the passage. And we're going to come back to the end of the passage at the end. But it's important to note it here because this is where James is heading in the passage. And this is where James has been heading for quite a while in the letter. All you do is boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows that good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. What does that mean? We'll come back to that. But in this passage, we have four warnings, and we will list these. What are these four warnings that we have in the section that I've read? And the first is this. Do not set yourself above your brother and sister. And this comes in verse 11, the very first verse that I read. Brothers, do not slander one another. Do not slander one another. I think it said brothers. Well, I've put in, is that okay to put in brothers and sisters? Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. And this is exactly what I mentioned a moment ago. The I'm better than you. And because we think we're better than somebody else, we speak against them. The chances are we don't speak it to their face, do we? But we say, do you know, dodgy. Do you know? It should be me. And we're kind of just setting a seed of poison in motion. And what we want to do is for the person we speak the slander to take and receive that poison and perhaps to pass it on. And we drop in our criticism, our critical comments. We want to cut people down and we may not have the courage to say it to their face. But we'll say it. to somebody else, or we will believe it in our own hearts. And sometimes just the believing it, that's damaging, isn't it? If you're constantly thinking, if you're not satisfied with where you are and what you're doing, but you're constantly thinking, it should be me, I'm better than you, I should have their position in wherever it is, in business or home or whatever, I should have their position, I should have their status, I should have their influence or their responsibility. It's mine, it's truly mine. You know, they're not very good. I could pick holes. And so we spread this nastiness all around. It should be me. But all of this slander arises from jealousy, as we see in verse 14. If you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. And so James says, if you're going to live with integrity, the first warning is this. Don't set yourself above your brother or sister. Don't slander them. Don't speak against them. Now, that is true wherever you live your life. Whether that's at home or at work or school. Where else? You know? Place where recreation. Anywhere you are. Just don't slander. Don't speak against. Don't kind of put that poison in. But first, I guess, examine your own heart and say, why am I doing this? Why do I feel that I have to slander and speak against? So we have this first warning, do not set yourself above your brother or sister. And then the second one, do not set yourself above the law. That's the second warning we have. And again, that's in verse 11. It says, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. So having said this warning, don't slander, don't set yourself above your brother or sister and say, I'm actually better and I want to look down on you. Don't set yourself above the law. Now, the key question is, of course, what is the law that James is referring to? Well, we've had a clue to this earlier on in James. James chapter 2, verse 8. His encouragement was, if you really keep the royal law, this is how the king lives, found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. James is saying, if you slander your brother or sister, if you set yourself above your brother and sister, you're saying, I am better than the law. The law that says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, you are saying, I'm actually better than that. I know a way to live that is even better and more wise than love your neighbor as yourself. So there's this second warning. Don't set yourself above the law. So we have these. Don't set yourself above your brother or sister. Don't set yourself above your law. And then the third warning is do not set yourself above your neighbor. James chapter 4, verse 12. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Who are you? Who do you think you are? Isn't that a TV program? Who do you think you are? You know, and that could be said positively or negatively, but he's saying it. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are that you've set yourself above others? In doing so, you've set yourself above the law that commands you to love and always want the best, never treating anybody as less than you. How dare you set yourself above? And here, but you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now, back in Leviticus chapter 19, where we have love your neighbor as yourself. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Doesn't this resonate with what James is saying? About slander and bearing grudges and all that kind of thing. This seems to be the inspiration for James as he writes, love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is how to live and to live well. And then we have the fourth warning. First, don't set yourself above your brother and sister. Don't set yourself above the law. Don't set yourself above your neighbor. Your command is to love them. Fourth, and you don't set yourself above God. And this is an extraordinary journey that James is taking in his arguments. Saying this is where you start. You start, and the problem with your life of integrity or not living it, first of all, you set yourself above the people you can see around you. Then you set your, in doing so, you set yourself above the law, which commands you to love them. And in doing so, you set yourself above your neighbor. I'm less than, why should I help them? And in all this, you're setting yourself above God's. Now, how do we get this? Well, we need to look at verse 13. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Yeah? James is saying, who are you? You think you're better than God. You think you have your destiny in your own hands. Well, James, as far as James is concerned, you don't. The assumption is, I'm in control, ultimate control of my life and my destiny. You know, when we were praying earlier, when the young people were still with us, and that sense of 2011, there's a sense, you know, we know some things are happening this year. But another way, we don't. We think they're happening. We think we're going to have whatever. But we don't truly know until they happen. Where are we going to be this time next year? Well, we don't know. But to presume that we know, ultimately, James says, you're setting yourself above God. And as I put it here, the declaration is, I am my own God. I determine my own destiny. So he sets, James sets out these four warnings in this passage that I think I've got here. Four warnings. Don't set yourself above your brothers and sisters. Don't go around saying, I am better than, which is normally because they're in fact above you in your perception. In your perception, they're above you. And you resent that. You're jealous of that. So you begin to slander. You begin to speak against them. You begin to speak against what they're doing, what they stand for, what they hope for, what they teach, or whatever it is. The way they manage you, the way they lead you, you spread your poison. Do not set yourself above your brother and sister. If you do so, you are setting yourself above the law. The law says, the royal law, God's way of living, the king's way of living, love. And you're saying, I'm better than that. Don't set yourself above your neighbor. This is what the scriptures say. Love your neighbor. Don't bear grudges. And then don't you set yourself above God. So that's what we have, in a sense, quite neatly in this particular passage. Do you remember where we started? Chapter 4, verse 16. As it is, you boast and brag, all such boasting is evil. And as I said, this boasting is an attempt or the desire to set oneself above another. And James, right at the end of this passage, having issued all these warnings, says, all you do is boast. That's all I hear from you about how fantastic you are all the time. Setting yourself above, setting yourself above. This is me, this is me, this is me. And then there's that final challenge. Anyone then, in verse 17, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. And the question is, what is going wrong? And I guess we've already got a lot of it. What is going wrong? The life of integrity that James is encouraging them to, well, he's just not seeing it. This faith and action matching up. I stand for this. I follow Jesus. This is what he stands for. This is then how I live. What is going wrong? Well, throughout James, the letter, we see these obstacles that he has already spoken about to this life of integrity. Why can't they get it together in these communities that they're writing to? Well, the first is because, and this is in James chapter 3, that passage there about the tongue, they have an inability to control what they say. And you may want just to turn back to James chapter 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. And James there was encouraging them, look, if you can control what you say, that's the beginning of being disciplined in every area of your life. Why can't they get integrity together? Why can't they get this faith and action thing together? And the first thing he says is because you can't control what you say. That's one of your problems. You have this seeming inability to do so. And then he says in chapter 3, the following passage, verses 13 to 18, there's all this envy and selfishness, this drive, this determination, I must get above. You'll never get your life of integrity together as long as you keep saying, I must get above, I must get above, I must get above. And that's in verses 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambitions, don't boast about it or deny the truth, and so on. Where you find envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Why can't they get it together? Well, they can't control what they say. There's all this envy and selfishness. I must get above you, must be better than you, and make sure everybody knows about it. The third thing in chapter 4 is because they are living by the world's value system. You may remember as we touched upon this, verse 4 of chapter 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And there's the challenge that James puts out, is if you try and live by the values of the world, well, they're the wrong values, because they are not the values of Jesus. So you will never get together what you say you believe in Jesus and your actions. The whole thing will be skewed. And so James has just been laying it out. In chapter 2, he encouraged them. You know, faith and actions. Make sure your faith and actions meet up. And then he lays it all out. This is why it's all going wrong for you. And this, he kind of breaks out. All I hear from you is this boasting and bragging. And you'll never get it together if you keep on boasting, this setting yourself above others. And so this, then the passage we've just looked at, it's about arrogant boasting, always setting yourself above, always, always, always. And if that's in our hearts, then it's almost like we can't help it. We have to change our hearts and change the way that we think about others. But then the very last verse here that James writes, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. See, in chapter 2, he has said, in chapter 2, verse 1, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. And then he went on. If you really keep the royal law found in the scripture, love your neighbor as you love as yourself. You are doing right. Verse 14 of chapter 2, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. What do you do? And it's all the way from there that James now says, all I hear is your boasting. And he comes to this conclusion. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. What is the good you should do? This is it. This is what he's talking about. A brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm, well fed, does nothing about his physical deeds, what good is it? Okay? So that's where he's been. And that's what I think this is a reference to. If you know the good that you should do, you profess this faith, but you don't do it, you're sinning. Now, James understands why they don't do it. They're struggling with integrity. Their tongue, their values, their envy, their selfishness, their boasting. And he's laid it all out. This is why you're not doing it. But he wants to make it absolutely clear. If you don't do what you say you believe, you are sinning. And that's a great challenge. But the encouragement is to live a life of integrity. And these are the values that we come to. The values of Jesus, of love, of compassion, of mercy, of forgiveness, of kindness, of justice, and so on. They are values we know. Values we understand in one way, and yet truly we don't understand them until we live them. Until we know what it is to love somebody. Until we know what it is to have compassion and to be moved deeply as Jesus was moved with compassion. To have mercy and to have mercy with grace. So to have mercy on somebody who doesn't deserve your mercy, but to do so, to forgive, and truly to forgive. These are the values that James encourages all these people scattered across the known world at that time. If you're going to make your journey home to God, don't think about coming back to Jerusalem, because you'll bring just the same difficulties you've got where you are back to Jerusalem. Stay where you are and discover God. In a fresh, new way, where you are. Work out what it means. This is what I believe. This is what I do. And let's pray right now. And let's just pray in some sense, in one way, for one another, that we might be able to do this. And so we hold not just ourselves, but we hold one another before God. Father, we pray that you might bless us today with grace, undeserved favor. Father, thank you that if we lack anything, if we lack wisdom, then we know that if we ask you, you give generously to us and you don't find fault with us. You don't hold back, but you give to us what we truly need. Father, we ask for that blessing today. That you would give to us what we need. That our lives might be lives of integrity. And all the problems that James could have written to us, we'll seek to deal with them. That it might be true that our lives that are lived might truly reflect our love of you, Father. Grant us grace as we proclaim our faith each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.